For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. A national park in southern Kentucky with the longest known cave system in the world is remembering an explorer whose death became an international sensation. Floyd Collins died 100 years ago this week. Our reporter Michael Collins, no relation to Floyd, reports that tragic death led to the creation of Mammoth Cave National Park.
100 years ago today, one story dominated the headlines: the rescue of Floyd Collins.
Collins had been trapped in a Kentucky cave by a falling boulder, and the whole wanted to know from hour to hour what progress his rescuers were making.
That's from a 1950 Times documentary on the most impactful events of the 1920s. Collins lived in the appropriately named Cave City, Kentucky. He was one of many landowners who took part in the cave wars of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Fueled by tourism to nearby Mammoth Cave, local landowners like Collins scoured the area for impressive cave formations in the hopes of attracting paying visitors. Cave specialist Rick Toomey said Collins's Crystal Cave was one of the most impressive, a wide cavern where gypsum formations burst like flowers from stone, and flecks of crystal give the walls a glittery shine. But its remote location away from the road to Mammoth Cave meant it saw few guests.
So Floyd was constantly looking for a cave closer to the main road to try and find someplace as pretty as Crystal, but that they could get more visitors to come to so they could make a better living.
He soon scoped out nearby Sand Cave on January 30th, 1925, but as park guide Jackie Wheat explains, Collins would never leave.
His foot actually kind of bumps against a loose rock. This rock becomes dislodged and kind of rolls into the passageway right over top of his ankle and foot. And he can't pull his leg beyond this rock.
Collins sat alone in the dark for roughly a day before the landowners found him trapped. Neighbors and family came quickly to try and free him.
People begin to take turns going in and out, in and out. This goes on for a couple of days, and they're just not making any progress.
That movement and wear on the cave would lead to tragedy, as the loosened rock soon collapsed, cutting Collins off from the world entirely. Rescuers were forced to dig a makeshift shaft into the cave. By this time, the effort was a national sensation with its own media circus. Congress took hourly breaks to listen to updates over the radio. Roughly 10,000 people poured into remote Cave City to gawk, pray, and aid rescue efforts. Rescuers continued digging to Collins until on February 17, 1925, there was a breakthrough into the cave.
But this was day 17. They see him, and he's gone. He had passed away, they believe, a couple days before that.
His body remained there for months while his brothers raised enough money to excavate and bury him formally on the family's homestead that contained Crystal Cave. But the attention garnered by the accident was too lucrative to ignore. Collins's body was exhumed from his grave after the family sold the land several years later. He was placed in a glass-topped coffin by the new owner of Crystal Cave. In death, Collins became a tourist attraction. His family objected to this treatment, but his remains stayed on display in the cave until 1961, when Mammoth Cave National Park purchased the property. Crystal Cave was closed off from the public, but Collins would not be reburied for another two decades. Finally, in 1986, Collins was interred at nearby Mammoth Cave Baptist Church Cemetery, where he remains today. His gravestone now sits adorned with stones and coins left by park guests. The inscription below his name reads, "Greatest Cave Explorer Ever Known." Wheat says the attention Collins brought to the area directly led Congress to authorize Mammoth Cave as a national park 1 year later in 1926.
The national park is also about preserving the stories of the pre-park families that lived here and not forgetting those people, because they played a vital role in what we have today.
The park is currently hosting a series of exclusive tours visiting Collins's homestead, his gravesite, and both Crystal and Sand Caves. Tour tickets were awarded late last year through a lottery system to handle the demand. In total, over 6,000 tickets were requested. The park will also host two free events later this month, one reflecting on Collins's life and death, and another featuring a panel with relatives of Collins. Park officials say they've been in regular contact with the family to discuss ways in which Collins could be remembered for another 100 years. Thankfully, they have some help from singer-songwriter Vernon Delhart. Here he is in 1925, singing The Death of Floyd Collins. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Michael Collins.
Oh, come on.